to draw strength, spiritual strength, when they need it, and how to go about life courageously. Hallelujah. Without spiritual strength and courage, you're going to end miserably. I'm telling you that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 tells us that until we are strong in the Lord, we are not able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Until you and I are strong, spiritually strong, spiritually strong, there are forces that will constantly derail us, constantly keep us down, constantly hold us back. Hallelujah. So, I'd like to share with you very quickly, you know, your sources of spiritual strength, where you need to draw strength from. And they're simple Christian teachings. This is Christian living teaching. You know, this is what you should have discovered many years ago, I believe. But I know there could be people who are listening to me who are new in the faith, who have not really understood the fundamentals of the Christian life. You know, and this is for you as well. The first place we can draw strength from is through correct knowledge. The correct knowledge of the Word of God, the correct understanding of who God is, the correct understanding of how our relationship with God is meant to be. Correct knowledge. Knowledge is powerful. Lack of knowledge is what brings many believers to the place of defeat. When you have no correct knowledge, knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus, knowledge of who God is, knowledge of how the relationship that you have with God is like, you will be a weak believer. And there are many weak believers, many believers who are walking in defeat, because they lack knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You need correct knowledge of the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. I cannot overemphasize the need for you to, you know, give yourself to the study of the Word. There is no alternative to it as a believer. Feeding on the Word, studying the Word, searching the Word to discover who God is, who you are, how God sees you, what the relationship that you have with God is like. Until you figure out all of this correctly, you're going to live a weak Christian life. You're going to have a weak Christian life. You're not going to be a strong, you're not going to have that spiritual capacity, you know, to fear through this life and prevail. And this is why Satan's number one target in a believer's life is the Word of God. He will want to keep you in the ignorance of the Word. He will want to keep you ignorant of who you are, ignorant of who God is, ignorant of what God is doing. You know, Jesus showed us in Mark chapter 4, when you read from verse 14 to 20, Jesus talked about the parable of the sower. And this is Jesus giving us a picture of the battle that is raging between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. The devil's number one target is to steal the Word of God from the believer, to keep you in the dark of the Word of God, to keep you ignorant of the Word of God. The Word of God, having access into your spirit is what liberates you. It's what empowers you. It is what transforms you. The quality of your life will never be above the level of the amount of the Word of God that you have discovered or you have received. So the more you study the Word of God, the more you discover who God is, the more you discover who you are, how God sees you, the more you understand the relationship that exists between you and God and where Satan is in regards to all of that. Your spiritual strength increases in the same degree as your knowledge of God increases. And your knowledge of God increases dependent on how you study the Word. You need the knowledge of the Word of God. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, a scripture that you must be familiar with. Daniel 11, 32, it says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries." It's the B part that I wanted to take. It says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits." The people who know their God, they shall be strong. The knowledge of God increases inside of you the more you engage the Word of God. When knowledge increases, spiritual strength increases, courage develops inside of you. You receive the boldness to face life because you have discovered who your God is and what He says about you. And this is why when God instructed Joshua and He said to Joshua, "I'm commanding you, Joshua, to be strong and of good courage." And you need to be strong and of good courage because there's an assignment before you. You're going to continue from where Moses has stopped. You will take the children of Israel to Canaan land, the land of promise, and you will share for them their inheritance, their many lands to conquer Joshua. And if you have to succeed in this mission, you need to be strong and courageous. But then God gave him, you know, the way to achieve that. God showed him the process. And he said, "But this book of the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate in it day and night." Why did God add that to the instruction? Because Joshua can never be strong outside of the knowledge of the Word of God. Outside of the knowledge of the Word of God, you are weak in ignorance. You're weak in ignorance. You are a victim in ignorance. You are in captivity. Jesus said, "When you know the truth, it makes you free." It makes you free. Freedom begins to manifest itself when light, the light of the gospel, shines brighter. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, please, don't toy with the study of the Word. Don't play with it. Don't take it for granted. As a believer, you absolutely need that to survive. Number two, the source of the believer's strength, spiritual strength, is the awareness of the presence of God. The awareness of the presence of God. Now, God assures us of His presence. He assured Joshua the same of His presence, in order to help Joshua develop courage. The awareness of the presence of God with you makes you bold makes you strong, makes you courageous. The moment you become unaware of God with you, you become afraid. You start to worry. Anxiety sets in. The knowledge of the presence of God with you, that consciousness, it drives our fear. It makes it bold. And this is why God told Joshua. He said, "Have I not commanded you, Joshua? You be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For I, the Lord thy God, is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I will be by your side. I will stand with you. I am with you wherever you go." Amen. The psalmist says in Psalm chapter 23 and verse number 4, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." That understanding should keep you going. Hallelujah. Because God is with me, I can face tomorrow. For Job, who said, "Because my Redeemer liveth." Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. The moment you know God, your God, who is alive, who is constantly by your side, is there with you, fear goes, boldness comes in, courage becomes activated inside of you. You develop, you know, that stamina to engage what is before you. And Jesus promised us. He said, "Lo, I am with you to the ends of ages." There is no place that a believer goes to that is there alone, by himself, far from God. Nothing keeps God away from you. You know, when we're growing up, we were taught that when a believer sins, it drives God away from him. But I've come to discover that absolutely, there's nothing that keeps God away from us, because God's presence is constantly with us. Hallelujah. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. When we do wrong, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We make the Holy Spirit sad. We can limit the power, the flow of the power of God in our lives or through us. But the presence of God is never. I mean, never leaves a believer. God is constantly with a believer. And this is because God never abandons anyone. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, the further you run away from God, the more God, you know, runs towards you. The Bible says, Jesus showed us that he will abandon the 99 and go chasing after the one who has left the fold. God's presence is constantly with you. Hallelujah. And you've got to be aware of that wherever you are, in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that challenge, at your workplace, in that hospital bed, in the prison, whatever the ganging that you can feel around you. I just want you to just have this understanding that God is with you. Because God is with me, I will not fear what man will do to me. Gives you boldness and courage. Hallelujah. Number 3, very quickly, is having a sense of righteousness. Having a sense of righteousness is another source of believers' spiritual strength and courage. having a sense of righteousness. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1, the wicked flee where no man pursueth him, but the righteous is as bold as a lion. Bold as a lion. The righteous is as bold as a lion. Having a sense of righteousness is very critical in believer's life. You see, we are righteous people. God made us righteous. And we're righteous not because of what we have accomplished or we will do, but because of what Jesus Amen. Has accomplished for us. Amen. And the Bible says in Christ Jesus, he has made us the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. So you and I are righteous. But having the sense of righteousness is keeping your relationship with God intact. Hallelujah. Keeping your relationship with God intact. Working your relationship out with God in the fear of God and in line with the word of God. Righteousness, you see, righteousness conferred on you and I the ability to stand before God without the feeling of guilt, inferiority, or condemnation. Now, that sense of righteousness is attacked when a believer steps out of the word of God and he begins to indulge in an unrighteous sense. That sense of righteousness, freedom from guilt, that freedom from condemnation, is attacked the moment Satan can get you to violate scriptural principles. Hallelujah. So, in order to maintain your sense of righteousness, to know that before God you stand justified, uncondemned, and qualified, you need to commit yourself to following the word of God, precepts upon precepts. Hallelujah. You cannot, as a believer, step out of the faith and begin to do all that you want to do, contrary to the word of God, indulge in all kinds of wicked things, ungodly things, satanic stuff, and you will not feel guilty, you will not feel condemned, and you will not feel like God is far from you. And this is because the Holy Spirit that bears witness with your spirit that you are the Son of God becomes grieved. And the moment the Holy Spirit inside of you is grieved as a result of a sinful behavior, now sorrow sets in. That inferiority sets in, that courage, that boldness to stand before God and to face life, evaporates. So in right standing with God, we are courageous. Hallelujah. Now, and this is why I think it's dangerous. It's dangerous for anybody to not balance up, when you're talking about we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and it has nothing to do with what we can do, what we have done. It's just what Jesus has done, and to just stay there and leave it there, it's very dangerous. Because it makes it look like then a believer can go ahead and do whatever he wants to do and live whichever way he wants to live, and it has no implication. No. Your spiritual strength, your courage, your boldness to face life, your ability to challenge Satan and confront the forces of darkness wanes down. It fades away. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear from terror, for it shall not come near thee. That courage, that boldness, is sustained when we are walking in the light of the word of God, in the fear of God, adhering to scriptural principles. Hallelujah. This is very important. Number four, it's a healthy prayer life. A healthy prayer life. A healthy prayer life. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We need to always pray and not faint and not give up prayer. This is because when a believer does not pray always, he eventually faints. He eventually fails. He eventually grows weak. So in order for a believer not to grow weak, he needs to constantly keep praying and not give up on prayer. When you don't pray, you will end up not fighting for what is your right. You will quit. You will surrender. You will lack stamina. You will grow cold. Fear will set in. But in the place of prayer, we're able to connect with God. We're able to develop intimacy, deeper intimacy with God. We are able to renew our spirit man. We're able to activate the gifts that we carry in the place of prayer. And this is why a believer ought always to pray according to Jesus and not faint. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 shows us that the place of prayer is a place where we can find grace for help. It's a place where we can find grace for help, particularly in times of need. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace," and it's referring to the place of prayer, "that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In time of need, the prayer closet is a place to go to. When you feel bombarded, when you feel overwhelmed by things, it's not the time to just cry, to just do pity party, to just complain, you know, and feel sad and feel depressed. Is the time to run to your closet, to the place of grace that you can find help, stamina, and empowerment so you can face life. Hallelujah. It's very, very important. We saw, if you read, you know, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, you read verse 21 to 24, and you to just read through from verse 21 to verse 31, you will see that when the disciples were challenged out there in the world, they were threatened not to preach. They were told that if you preach, we will do this and all of that to you. Were told that they retreated back to their place of meeting and they prayed. And the Bible says, and when they prayed, the place shook and the Holy Spirit descended on them, empowered them. And let me read verse 31. Verse 31 says, Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." They didn't just go running and crying and complaining and feeling disappointed by God and questioning, you know, the integrity of God and challenging the efficacy of the word of God. No, they retreated to the place of prayer. And the Bible says when they prayed, the Holy Ghost empowered them, renewed them, recharged them, and they now went back and ministered with boldness, not with fear. You cannot be someone who is given to prayer and operate in fear, or be consumed by worry. No. Prayerful people are courageous people. Prayerful people are bold. Prayerful people are people that look at challenge on its face, and they can say boldly, "My Redeemer lives. I am more than a conqueror. Even this one will pass." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as I draw this to a close, you know, I like to say one of the things that you may need to consider adding to your prayer life is fasting. Fasting aids your prayer life. It gives power to your prayer life. When you fast, you may feel weak physically. You know, not eating and not drinking for a while will certainly affect your physical body. But it's only your physical body that will be weakened. But in fasting, absolutely your spirit man is energized. You know, you are renewed, you are recharged, you are strengthened inside. You acquire more power, more, let me use the word, firepower, you know, when you pray. This is why Isaiah says, Isaiah 40, 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." There is renewal that takes place. They shall renew their strength. That waiting upon the Lord is also referring to fasting. Learning to just wait fast, you know, stay away from people, staying away from business and hiding yourself in one corner, you know, and forgetting food and just bury yourself in the Word of God and engage God in worship and prayer. Oh, after that experience, your life will never be the same. I'm not talking about the kind of fasting that we do. You know, we exempt ourselves from food. We don't take breakfast. We don't take lunch. We don't even pray. You know, we just go about busying, you know, visiting people, doing shoppings and engaging our work. And at 6 p.m. we remember that we're hungry and we quickly do some prayer, 10, 15 minutes prayer. "God, thank you for today. Thank you for the grace of God," and blah, and we eat our food. That's not waiting on God. That's not waiting on God. Waiting on God is creating time to be alone with God. You alone with God, away from people, away from business, away from food, and you just bury yourself in the Word, engaging God in worship, in conversation, for whatever duration the Holy Spirit will lead you to do that. You cannot engage in that kind of spiritual exercise and remain the same. So from time to time, a believer must not only pray, but must add waiting on God or fasting to his prayer life. And you cannot be the same. Now, as I round up, let me just remind you the four ways of presented to you this morning that can be the source of your spiritual strength. The first is correct knowledge, the knowledge of who God is, the knowledge of who God says you are, the knowledge of the relationship that we enjoy with God. You know, that will build in you courage and spiritual stamina. And the number two is the awareness of the presence of God. The awareness of the presence of God can keep you going strong. Even in the face of challenges, in the face of difficulty, you will not be afraid. You will not be afraid of tomorrow. Hallelujah. And number three is having a sense of righteousness. A sense of righteousness. which means you can go about living life, doing stuff, not carrying guilt, not carrying a feeling of condemnation. You know, and we maintain that sense of righteousness when we live right with God. Hallelujah. Otherwise, it gets attacked, and we now begin to fear for the consequences of the life that we're living. And finally, it's a healthy prayer life, which you cannot replace with anything. And as I close, let me say this. Don't rely on someone's prayer for you for spiritual strength and stamina. It's good to know that people are praying for you, and it's good to have many more people pray for you, but you cannot rely on that for spiritual strength. Spiritual strength, your spiritual strength, and the courage that you need to face life, generate insights inside of you when you pray, and not only when people are praying for you. I hope you've been blessed with this sharing, and I hope that it will help to keep you going for the rest of the month, and I hope to see you at the end of this month a better person, functioning at a higher level, and Satan will be subjugated, brought under your feet. In the name of Jesus, I reach out to you, and I ask that the Almighty God will overwhelm you with His goodness. In the name of Jesus, wherever you are going through challenges right now, I decree your victory there. I declare your victory there. In the name of Jesus, where doors are closed against you, I command them opened. The doors are open now. As you press through this year, you will exceed your expectations. I bless you with the blessing of this gospel. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.